Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Mat-Su Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org and MushingRadio.com is our website. And on the line, calling in from Southern California, is our co-host for Mushing Radio, Alex Stein. Alex, how's it going?
It's going great, Robert. It is warm and muggy down here, and we got a little bit of rain, so that made it even more muggy.
Well, you know, it's absolutely beautiful up here. I think it's about 62 degrees, rain here and there, but it's an absolutely awesome Alaskan summer.
Excellent. And I saw that you were down in, I believe, Seward for the dip netting recently.
Down in Kasilof, which is over by Kenai.
Oh, sorry, Kasilof.
We had a great time down there last weekend. It was very warm and sunny, and we got quite a few fish. We try to fill up the freezers for ourselves and occasionally for a couple of dog snacks. I think we had a great time down there.
That sounds wonderful.
So on today's show, Alex, we're going to talk about all of the awards that they issue to different finishers of the Iditarod. And there's quite a list going all the way up to probably the biggest award in the Iditarod, which is the giant key that the winner of Iditarod gets, along with his giant check that goes along with that key. And we're going to work our way down with those. Do you have anything to add before we get into today's topic?
Well, you know, a lot of the awards are, there are several different types of awards. There are a bunch of awards that are given originally on the trail, and then they're re-given at the finisher's banquet in Nome. And then there are other awards that are not given on the trail and are just given out at the finisher's banquet in Nome. So with all of those, it's actually a very long list. So hopefully we'll be able to get through all of them.
So just a quick clarification to a question I do not know the answer to. I know that there is an award in the Yukon Quest for the first one at Dawson. They get quite a few gold nuggets. And they only receive that award if they finish the race. Are all of these awards in the Iditarod the same way, or can you be the first to the midway point and get the award with the big banquet, or do you have to finish in order to get most of these?
I think most of them you get whether or not you finish. There are a couple that are restricted, and we'll get into those as we reach them.
All right, so we're going to work our way down the list. The first one on the list is the Penn Air Spirit of Alaska Award. It's been presented since 2000 to the first musher to reach McGrath. And they, of course, all of these awards were changed up this year because they did a different route, and they presented it in Ruby, an original spirit mask created especially for this event by Bristol Bay artist Orville Lind. And they also get a $500 credit on Penn Air towards travel or freight shipments, presented at the Ruby Checkpoint and again at the Nome Awards Banquet. And this year, the winner was Mitch Seavey. Anything on this award, Alex?
Yeah, there are quite a few awards, and this is one of them, that feature Native Alaskan art. And the art is really very, very beautiful. And if you ever get a chance to see one of these spirit masks, they are absolutely gorgeous. With a lot of these awards, they're given to the musher, and it's kind of a ceremonial thing on the trail, and then they basically are taken back by the race officials and sent on to Nome so that they can be represented at the finisher's banquet.
Our next award is one that most people know about, and it's probably one of the more famous awards on the trail. It is the Millennium Alaskan Hotel, which I believe is a different name now. It's the first musher to the Yukon Award. It's been presented since 1983 in the checkpoint of Ruby on even years and Anvik on odd years. And it was presented in Galena this year. And with that, the musher receives a gourmet five-course meal prepared at the checkpoint, $3,500 in $1 bills as an after-dinner mitt served up in a commemorative gold pan. And the winner this year was Jeff King.
Yeah, Jeff has won this award quite a lot. Since I've been following the Iditarod, I can recall, I think, three or four times that he's won it in the past 10 years. And this award is famous because they fly out the chef with a cook stove to prepare this this multi-course gourmet meal. And the mushers will stop and eat this before they, usually they'll take some sort of rest break, an 8-hour rest or their 24 in some cases, so that they can enjoy this and not feel rushed with it. One thing that people may not know is, in addition to getting this meal on the trail, the winner also gets the same meal for him or herself and a guest back at the hotel anytime in the next year.
And that must be nice to be able to enjoy it when things are a little less hectic.
Absolutely.
So the next award on our list is the GCI Dorothy G. Page Halfway Award. It's presented by GCI, which is our telecom company up here. They provide cell phone service and internet and telephone and cell phones. And it's been presented since 1994 at the checkpoint of Cripple in the even years and Iditarod in the odd years. And this year it was presented in Hooslea. They received $3,000 in gold nuggets, a commemorative trophy, and it was won by Aaron Burmeister this year.
Yeah, this is another one of these awards that sometimes a jackrabbit type competitor who is going way, way farther than most people are before taking his or her 24 will win this award. So someone will basically go without taking significant rest periods in order to be able to get this halfway award. And Trent Herbst did that a couple years back. And, he was technically in the lead. He was the farthest along the course, but of course others had taken their 24s. And so once that all evened out, he fell back significantly.
And this award in particular, Alex, could either gain value or lose value as you work your way through history. As we know, several years ago, gold was at an all-time high, and it's gone down a little bit in recent years, but I can imagine $3,000 in gold nuggets is quite a handful.
Yeah. And I always wondered, there are a couple of these type of awards that have gold, and I always wonder if that's do people keep that? Do they cash it in? I'm not really sure.
Right. The next award on our list is a relatively new award, just started last year, 2014. It is the Bristol Bay Native Corporation Fish First Award, and it is presented by the Bristol Bay Native Corporation since 2004 to the first musher to reach Cowtag, which is on the Yukon River. And they receive a check for $2,000 and 25 pounds of Bristol Bay salmon. And Aaron Burmeister also won this award last year.
Yeah, and I love these type of awards because it's one thing to have an award that is for the first person somewhere, but when there's a way to tie the award into Alaska and into the actual landscape in the area, as Bristol Bay Native Corporation did with making the award a check as well as 25 pounds of salmon, I always like that because I feel like it really ties the race in even more with the surroundings and with Alaska.
I totally agree, and you can't pass up that delicious salmon from Bristol Bay. I know we talked about at the top of the show about us fishing for the red or sockeye salmon down in Kosilof. Unless you've had real Alaskan salmon, you've missed out on a rare treat, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So our next award, another pretty famous award. It's been around since 1993. It is the Wells Fargo Gold Coast Award, presented by Wells Fargo to the first musher to the Gold Coast community of Unalakleet. They received $3,500 worth of gold nuggets and a trophy. And guess what? Aaron Burmeister won this award last year as well. He was really on a path of no return, wasn't he? He was rock and rolling out there.
Yeah, he was doing really, really well for a significant portion. But then, as we know, Dallas Seavey just was in many ways unstoppable.
Can we talk about that just for a second? We've got plenty of time here on the show, Alex, and I know you had mentioned it just a couple of minutes ago about how a lot of times the mushers will win these particular awards, in particular these middle awards here towards the middle of the race, and then all of a sudden somebody jumps ahead. As you mentioned, Dallas Seavey just really rocked and rolled on the last third of the race, and they do that because even at this point, everybody hasn't settled those 24-hour breaks, those 8-hour layovers, all of that yet. So we don't know truly who the front runner is even this far into the race. Is that right?
That's correct. And, you know, this is less true perhaps for a competitor like Aaron Burmeister, who has been a very, very solid top 10, top 15 finisher for a long time. But with some of the teams that are a lot further back in the race, they are not expecting to be able to make a lot of money in terms of what they get for finishing the race. So if you are someone who is maybe going to make $1,049 for finishing the race, if you can pick up a prize in the middle that's worth $2,000 or $3,000, that's a significant motivation for you. And I would have with some people, especially with you know, people like Trent Herbst, who is a very solid middle to back of the pack musher, that would be a significant part of their thinking.
And you had mentioned that he had won the banquet. Is that right? You had mentioned that a minute or two ago.
I believe it was the Dorothy Page Halfway Award.
Halfway Award. Okay. All
yeah.
right. So a pretty important award coming up here next is the Rookie of the Year. There's always a heck of a lot of fanfare to this one, and the rookies are really competing for this one, and it's a lot of times it's just a matter of a few minutes about who wins this award and who doesn't. And it is the Jerry Austin Memorial Rookie of the Year Award, presented since 1980 to the top placing rookie by Clara Austin, who is the wife of Jerry Austin and family. The musher receives a $1,500 check and a commemorative poster, a trophy. It is presented at the finisher's banquet in Nome, and Thomas Werner, I believe is how you pronounce that, he won it this past year.
Yeah, this is always considered a very, very competitive and very highly sought-after award. The people who win Rookie of the Year are looked upon as the next generation of mushers who are going to be coming up and either winning the race or becoming top 10 finishers over the next couple of years. It's also the entire Austin family presents this award. So it's considered very much a way of welcoming someone into the Iditarod family by a family that's long been associated with the Iditarod.
Since I have not been to the finisher's banquet yet, Alex, mainly due to superstition, but are all of these awards in this order? Do they go from, you know, as you're working your way down the trail, as we've listed with the Spirit of Alaska Award and on through, or is there some kind of special way that they do this? Obviously, the last award, I'm sure, is the person that won the race. Do you recall?
Yeah, what they do is they give most of these awards in the order that we've been going through them.
Okay.
And then there are a couple of special awards that we'll get to later, which are sort of drawings for the finishers. So there's the Northern Air Cargo four wheeler and the Donlin snow machine drawing, and those kind of happen when they happen.
Okay. So the next award is a very speedy award. It is the Nome Kennel Club, Nome Kennel Club Fastest Time from Safety to Nome Award. It has been presented since 1973 by the Nome Kennel Club. The winner must be in the top 20. The musher receives a $500 check, a commemorative poster, or, I don't know why I keep saying poster, trophy, and is presented at the banquet, and the winner is Wade Mars this year.
Yeah, and this is a fun award, in part because it's one of the few awards that has been presented every year since the Iditarod started. And it's presented by the Nome Kennel Club, so there's a lot of history that goes into that as well. And there are certain racers who are just certain teams that are just insanely fast from safety to Nome, like significantly faster than even the top teams and the winning teams. And it's always interesting to see the teams that will get this award.
Ramey Smith comes to mind here. I believe he gets off the sled and pretty much runs the marathon from safety to Nome every year. He's really rocking and rolling in this last portion of the race, but he's one of those mushers that has never won the Iditarod.
Right, but he is always incredibly fast from safety to Nome. I believe he's won this award many, many times.
So now the big boy, the Anchorage Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Official Truck Award. It's been presented since 1991 to the Iditarod champion. The musher receives the year of the race, in this case 2015 Ram 1500 4x4 pickup, valued at $40,000. It is presented at the finish line and again at the Nome Awards Banquet. And everybody knows that Dallas Seavey won it this year.
Right. And, you know, it's great to win a truck, but it's really significant that in a race where the winner gets a monetary prize that is not a lot larger than this, that they are giving away a $40,000 truck. So this is
right.
Not like your little tiny 4x4 that someone might have in the Midwest. This is a big, powerful truck that can haul a lot of stuff, that can, you know, haul entire dog kennels. So this is something that the people who've won the race always really, really enjoy winning.
And it's my understanding, Alex, that it doesn't necessarily have to be a truck. I know that Lance Mackey and his 4-year reign of the Iditarod, one time he picked a brand new Dodge Challenger sports car for his winning vehicle. So it doesn't necessarily always have to be a truck. You don't necessarily need 4 trucks parked in the driveway of the Dodge.
Right. I think with Lance also, he started saying, well, you know, with me, it's less a question of am I going to win the truck than what color am I going to get? And I guess after 2 or 3 of them, he decided that maybe the color he really wanted was a sports car.
And, you know, a little side note to that, Alex, just recently, I think in the last month or so, he ended up selling that Dodge Challenger because he was getting so many tickets in it up in Fairbanks. He ended up selling that vehicle, that winning vehicle, and bought himself a stock car. I'm sure you've read about these on Facebook and in the Alaska newspapers and such.
Yes, I have. Lance Mackey is one of my favorite personalities that has anything to do with the Iditarod because he is so colorful and so larger than life in lots of ways. And so, yes, we've been reading about Lance's adventures on Facebook with his stock cars.
So the next award is one that's very important to a lot of mushers as they're coming up in ranks. And I think it really shows how well a kennel is performing. And it is the Horizon Lines Most Improved Musher Award. It's been presented since 1987. It recognizes the musher who has bettered his or her last previous finish by the most number of places. The musher receives a $2,000 check, a commemorative trophy. It is presented at the Nome Awards Banquet, and this year it was won by Travis Beals.
Yeah, and this is obviously an award that people really want to win, because it indicates not only that you are moving up, but that you are really becoming a musher to watch.
Right, right. So the next two awards are probably some of the most important awards in mushing. They give out these two awards at just about every race that I've been a part of, as well as what is called the veterinarian or the humanitarian award at just about every mushing event. The first one is the Donlan Gold Sportsmanship Award. It's been presented since 1977. It is chosen by fellow mushers, Iditarod Finishers Club, as demonstrating sportsmanship. The musher receives $3,500 in a check, a commemorative trophy. It is presented at the awards banquet, and this year the winner was Lance Mackey.
Yeah, you know, the this is one of the most interesting awards, I think, because there are a lot of things that you can capture in terms of statistics. So you can see very easily who had the fastest time from safety to Nome, for example, or who was the first person into a particular checkpoint. But then there's a lot of stuff that is very important to the race and to fans of the race, but is not easily quantifiable. So this is where we get into the real interesting human stories of Iditarod. And giving this trophy to Lance Mackey, who had a real rough race, and yet was able to pull it out in large parts with the help of his brother, and finish the race, was just very inspirational, I think, to anyone who's a fan of Iditarod.
Which brings up our next award. When you talked about Lance and his brother, it is the ExxonMobil Musher's Choice Award. It's been presented since 2010. It is also chosen by fellow mushers as the most inspirational musher on the trail. The musher receives a limited edition gold Iditarod coin and plaque valued at $3,990. And the winner was Jason Mackey.
Right. And Jason Mackey was not going to win the race this year, but was doing very well and was on track to have the best finish that he had ever had. And his brother Lance was having a lot of problems with the cold and with his fingers. He as a side effect of some of his cancer treatments, he doesn't have a lot of feeling in his fingers and was having a lot of trouble doing some basic things. And Jason Mackey made the decision that he would sacrifice going forward with his own race and trying to do as well as he could in order that he could travel with Lance and stay with Lance and make sure that Lance was okay. And that is something that, on the one hand, you think, well, there probably aren't a lot of people who would do that. But then when you start thinking about what Iditarod really means to many of the people who run the race, you realize that many, many of these racers would have done the same thing. And for Jason to have done that was something that is very touching and very inspirational to most people who follow the race.
Our next award is the Northern Air Cargo Herbie Nyupok Memorial Award. It's been presented since 2007. It is chosen by the race staff and officials as the person who emulates Herbie the Shishmaref Cannonball in his or her attitude on the trail. The recipient receives $1,049 in pocket change inside of a Northern Air Cargo jacket. It is presented at the finishers banquet, and again, Aaron Burmeister won this award.
Yeah, and this is, you know, Herbie Nyupok, I hope I didn't butcher that name too badly, was one of these legendary Iditarod racers and really brought such a joy to being on the trail and being a part of the race. And so this is another one of these fun awards that can't quite be captured all the time in statistics.
So the next two awards are sort of behind the scenes awards that probably a lot of fans don't know about. The first one is the Golden Clipboard Award. It has been presented since 2001 to a special checkpoint. It is chosen by the Mushers as the most outstanding checkpoint of the year, and the recipient receives a commemorative plaque, and the winner was the Hooslea checkpoint.
Right, and Hooslea has not been part of the Iditarod Trail race before, but Hooslea is a very, very storied village in terms of dog mushing, and they really just came, almost everyone who lives there came out and was part of welcoming and working the checkpoint, and really made it a very, very special place for a lot of the competitors.
So the next one goes hand in hand with that. It is also a behind the scenes award, and it is called the what? It's a vet award.
The Golden Stethoscope.
And that's given to whom?
And that is voted by the Mushers, by the Iditarod Finishers Club again, to the vet who has done outstanding veterinary work in helping the race and helping the Mushers. So the Mushers will see this group of veterinarians at various checkpoints all up and down the trail. There's usually about 40 trail vets. And they vote on which one did the most to help the race that year.
So the next one in terms of mushing is a very coveted award. Trying to seek out this award as you're mushing down the trail in racing, it is the Alaska Airlines Leonard Sepala Humanitarian Award. It's been presented since 1982 to a top 20 team. It is chosen by the veterinary team based on criteria to determine who has best demonstrated outstanding dog care throughout the race while remaining competitive. The Musher receives round-trip tickets, a lead crystal cup on an illuminated wooden base. It's presented at the banquet, and Nicholas Petit won it this year. Pettit.
Yeah, and Pettit. As you said, this is a very, very sought-after award because although all of the top racers want to win the race, they are equally, if not more, concerned with their dogs and with having it be a good experience for their dogs. And this is an award that was started in 1982 to recognize that and to recognize just outstanding dog care.
And speaking of the dogs, the next award is very highly coveted as well. And I want to talk a little bit about the City of Nome Lolly Medley Memorial Golden Harness Award. It was originally presented by the late Lolly Medley of Wasilla. She was a harness maker and one of two women to run the second Iditarod in 1970, chosen by the Mushers as the most outstanding lead dog. The Musher receives an embroidered gold-colored harness. It is presented at the awards banquet. Was offered to Reef, Dallas Seavey's lead dog.
Yeah, and I believe the tradition is that this is always one of the lead dogs of the winner of the race, but I don't think that it has to be. But I can't recall any time when it was not. And the dog is actually brought on stage, and the dog receives the harness and is put into the harness. And I believe there is a special steak dinner for the dog as well at the banquet.
And you know what's interesting with this, Alex, and probably a lot of people that are not mushers may not know, that almost all of the mushers run tandem lead dogs.
Right.
Entire mushing career, and most of us do, but for whatever reason, one dog of the two just happens to receive this award. I always find that pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I would love to be at that meeting where this is discussed and voted on. I'm not quite sure how, you know, what the criteria are, how it's chosen, if it's the dog that was in lead most, or the dog that, you know, the dog that seemed to have the most impact on the team when he or she was in lead.
Yeah, you know, and I've switched up many a times. I've switched up lead dogs 4 or 5, 6 times in the amount of time that I was out on the trail. And very often, the leader that starts the race does not finish in lead as we cross the finish line.
Right, right.
Excuse me. So, Alex, we are we're recording now, but we do have a few more awards. Do you have about 5 minutes to stay? I know we're recording a little late this evening.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's
All
do
right.
It.
One of the probably one of the most heralded awards in terms of the Musher on the Trail, as well as one of the fan favorite awards, is always the Red Lantern. It's been presented since 1973 to the last Musher to finish the race. The Musher receives a Red Lantern trophy. It is presented on the street as the Musher crosses under the arch, and also presented at the awards banquet. And the winner this year was Cindy Abbott.
And this is, we've talked about the Red Lantern quite a lot, I think, in past shows. I think that this is one of the most interesting awards, because it's not an award that I imagine when you're deciding that you're going to make all of these sacrifices and put all of the time and effort required into mounting a run at the Iditarod, you're not thinking to yourself, I want to finish last. And yet,
right,
as we've discussed, just finishing a race of this length is such an enormous achievement that there is always a great human interest angle to the team that wins the Red Lantern.
Exactly. And you know what's interesting with this award in particular, Alex, is in all the mushing events, everybody knows the winner, whoever won it that year, and almost everybody knows the Red Lantern recipient. And there is a musher that lives here in Willow that drives a Red Dog truck, and on the side of his truck in big white letters says his name and Red Lantern recipient in 19, I don't recall the year, but he is very proud of that award, and he showcases it on his dog truck every day.
And there's no reason not to, because, you know, anyone who finishes the Iditarod is automatically tougher and has more stick-to-itiveness, 99% of human beings on this planet. So anyone who can finish the Iditarod, no matter what place they are in, is absolutely worthy of respect.
And before we talk about these drawings that you mentioned a few minutes ago, Alex, we do want to mention that everybody that does finish the Iditarod the first time receives that highly coveted and very expensive belt buckle, as well as a finisher's patch, and everybody receives a check of some amount just for finishing. I know this year, I believe it was a little over 70 grand for the winner, and Cindy Abbott coming in last place, she received $1,049, which is a commemorative amount. I believe it is for mushers 30 and back. Is that right?
Yes, it usually falls around there. So there's a floor. If you finish, you will get $1,049 or more. And every year the purse is a little bit different. And I believe the largest purse ever was, I think, $75,000. And
wow.
That was, I want to say, back in 2006 or 2007. Then
so
it went down a little bit, come back up a little in the past couple of years.
Let's talk a little bit about the drawings. I think these next two awards are highly coveted by the mushers as well, and they're nothing to sneeze at in terms of monetary amount and what they are worth as a person wins these. The first one is the Donlin Gold Snow Machine Award. It's been presented since 2013. It's a random drawing for all the mushers at the Anchorage Banquet. So this is before the race. And the musher received, and this year was a 2015 Ski-Doo EXP Sport 550, and it was won by Nathan Schroeder. You know, he's from Minnesota. I wonder if he carted that thing back with him.
I don't know. Maybe he left it here, left it in Alaska for when he's up training.
Right.
But I don't know a lot about snow machines, but that sounds to me like a pretty top-of-the-line model.
At least $12,000-$15,000 in terms of cost. Those are very nice snow machines, those 550s. That's a pretty powerful machine. The next one is the Northern Air Cargo four-wheeler drawing. It has been presented since 2008. It is awarded to the musher whose key, which is randomly chosen by the musher, starts the four-wheeler prior to taking the stage at the finisher's banquet, I believe. It doesn't say if it's at the starting banquet or the finisher's. And they received this year a 2015 Arctic Cat 400 four-wheeler, and Laura Alloway won this one.
Yeah, so the way the finisher's banquet works is first people eat, and then they present all of these awards going up to the Red Lantern Award. And following the Red Lantern Award, and the Red Lantern winner will give a speech, and following that, they go through all of the finishers, and each finisher gets up and has an opportunity to give a speech. And unlike the starting banquet in Anchorage, there's no time limit. So theoretically, people could go on for quite a while. They tend not to. The speeches are usually very heartfelt. Sometimes people will tell stories that haven't been told anywhere else. And it's just a great opportunity for them to thank their sponsors, thank their families, thank the fans, and share a little bit of what it's like to be out on the trail. Before they cut, there's the actual four-wheeler is right on the stage, or right next to the stage in the finisher's banquet, and there are a bunch of keys that are in a pot, and before the finisher comes up to the stage to give his or her speech, they take out a key and put it in the ignition to see if it will turn and start the four-wheeler. And whoever's key starts the four-wheeler, wherever they are in the order, that's when they win that particular prize.
Very cool. And we cannot leave without mentioning the last thing we want to talk about is a very, very big fundraiser for the Iditarod. It is the Iditarod raffle. You can buy tickets throughout the year. I know that it's a very popular item to do at the Alaska State Fair. I believe the tickets are either $50 or $100. They do this twice a year. And some of the prizes are a truck from this Dodge dealership, four-wheelers, trips, airline miles from Alaska Airlines, all sorts of things that people can win by signing up for this raffle. And there's been on several occasions where mushers have won these trucks and these pretty major awards. I know just a couple of years ago, the mushing mortician, Scott Jansen, won one of these trucks and one of these raffles. So there are times where not only mushers, but fans can be involved and win some pretty big, fancy awards that take part in terms of Iditarod. Do you know much about those awards there, Alex?
Yeah, it's basically as you described it. They sell them also in Anchorage at the start and in Nome right before the finish. And it is considered the tickets are expensive, but it's considered a great way to help support the race.
Right, and walking out with a new truck potentially for $50 or $100, man, that's worth it, at least in my opinion.
I think so too. I have yet to win the truck, but that's all right.
How many times have you bought tickets?
Just once. But I thought that was a sign that I'm not going to win the truck that way.
Very cool. Well, Alex, we are definitely out of time. We're going to make sure that site as soon as we possibly can. It's always been a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Any ideas on what you want to talk about? I know I'm putting you on the spot again.
You know, I know we've talked a little bit about the volunteers, but I thought maybe we could spend a show really talking about the volunteers in a little bit more depth.
That works. So 2 weeks from today, we will talk. I believe that is the 4th or 5th of August. I'm not exactly sure. But 2 weeks from today, 5 o'clock, Alaska time, we will talk about the Iditarod volunteers, the unsung heroes out there on the trail, the people that are putting in a heck of a lot of work to make sure that this race carries on successful year after year. And on behalf of my co-host calling in from Southern California, Alex Stein, Alex, we'll talk again soon. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Robert. Take care.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.